The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. We were just having a little chat, Kingy and I, pre-coming on to do the podcast about John, Kerr.
Jared. Not Josh, not
no,
James.
No, how his golf's going Jared and Kerr. How he's... Was he up in the box for the game?
He was, for the K-Rock corporate suite.
He would have been well hydrated, was he,
throughout the evening? I believe that he's better half and a couple of her mates enjoy themselves and Jared just comes along for the ride.
Is he like the designated driver?
Maybe, yes.
Because you know what happened to the designated driver in Moe's Tavern, don't you?
What happened?
So
Moe's Tavern being from The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons. And Moe said, anyone here who's a designated driver, put your hand up. Yeah. And anyone who's a designated driver thought that they might have been getting something. And he goes, get out, we don't want freeloaders. Which is true, Kingy. There were a few freeloaders for the Cats on Friday night.
Was 17 or 18.
Yeah, it wasn't a great night. They picked, I think the football expression is that they picked a bad night to have a bad night.
Yeah.
And they didn't play well. It's funny with the Cats, isn't it? And I mean, most supporters will probably say this, and you only really know it of your own team. You know pretty early on with the Cats, don't you?
Didn't I say it 3 minutes in? This has got the whiff of St Kilda.
They couldn't move the ball for the first 10 minutes of the game at all.
And when they did, they didn't hit targets.
They were trying to invent things that weren't quite there. And I mean, when Grian Myers kicked that ball back inboard and Darcy Wilmot just marked it and ran into the open goal, I thought, we are in a lot of trouble.
This could be a long night.
Yes. And you just got that sense, didn't you? You just knew.
I'm trying to think. Who went for the kick inside 50 early?
Jack Martin.
Yeah.
Got chopped off.
There
was three or four kicks they were trying to invent something because they couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
Clearly the players are aware of that, so they get a bit anxious, thinking we're being hemmed in here, we're being pressed in, we're just being predictable down the line, we're going to try something. And, you know, you've got no problem with Grian Myers trying that kick. Mm. It didn't come off, and it's not often we say that, but you knew then that Geelong were in trouble. They couldn't get around Harris Andrews.
No.
He really tailed up Shannon Neal.
He played the Ilia role. Do you know how Geelong had real issues for a while there?
Played a Peter Schmeichel sort of role, didn't he? He was just like a big goalkeeper.
But you know how Geelong had problems with Ilia? Just they kept kicking it to him.
Yep.
That's what they did with Harris. They
did outmark Shannon Neal a few times one-on-one.
If I said play Brisbane and Geelong on the MCG, it might look a little bit different because of the width of the MCG.
Possibly.
Does that change things potentially?
Possibly. You might be able to pull them apart a little bit in terms of their defence. Maybe. But that's what we say about Geelong, that they were able to defend GMHBA really well, and Brisbane were able to do it brilliantly. There are a few things, Kingy. I mentioned there, I'm not knocking Shannon Neal. He was well beaten, but a great learning experience for him against one of the premier defenders in the comp. So he'll learn from that, but he did get absolutely tailed up.
Does that come down to that the delivery wasn't great either?
They weren't
giving him a run and jump at the footy?
Yep.
Or he wasn't able to hit up at the footy?
And very few options in terms of quick ball movement, which there was the other way.
Yeah.
You know, I think Geelong are one of the worst teams, I think, at defending...
The transition, the turnover.
Yeah, yep. I think they're ranked third last or something.
Yeah. Which is going to hurt you in big games.
Well, we've spoken about it before on this Kerr's Eye podcast, Kingy, that Geelong's style is a bit risk-reward. They do, they can score themselves and they can get opened up the other way. There are just a few things, Kingy, that I... And we spoke about it a little bit post-game, but there are a few other things. I thought, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but did they err at selection? I don't know why Ollie Henry was the sub when you've got Jack Martin and Mitch Duncan in the team.
Yep.
And then you've also got Myers, Close, Stengel. You've got Dangerfield.
Dempsey.
Why would you have a sub, a bloke who's a half forward?
Mm.
So when they brought him on, they had to play him on the wing.
Yep.
And that was one of the probably only the few positives that he got a bit of the ball, Henry.
Yep.
He actually had a bit of urgency about his game.
Because I think he knows that
he's playing
to be part of their finals campaign.
That's right. So did he take a little bit of confidence out of getting 10 or so possessions? Maybe.
Hope so.
Yeah, but it's not his role. Mm. So why – and I don't understand why Closey wasn't in the team.
Yep.
Now, Ted Closey isn't Lachie Neal.
No,
but he's a midfielder. He's hopefully going to develop into a bit of a battle-hardened midfielder. He's got a pretty big body about him.
He's going to be Tommy Atkins' replacement.
Yeah, or Mitch Nevitt. I don't understand. You look at their midfield, we got The concern for me was that their midfield got exposed.
Depth.
Yeah. That they bat really deep. You've got Neil, Dunkley, McCluggage, Berry, Will Ashcroft, Levi Ashcroft, and you can throw Zach Bailey and Cam Rayner in there.
And Jasper Fletcher.
There's nine.
Yep.
We go Smith, Holmes, Atkins.
Throw Dangerfield in occasionally.
Well, he's been paid predominantly for it. If you're throwing him in, you're probably in trouble. The Cats are in trouble.
Yep.
There's three.
But you're running,
you've got Myers as a link player. You've got Dempsey as a wingman.
And you've had O'Connor and Marlon in there as stoppers.
That's it.
Yep.
It didn't match up to me to have an outside type half forward as your sub when you could have actually had another midfielder in there, which you were going to need against the team, which strength, without Jack Payne playing and without... Well, I mean, you know, no Joe Danaher. I mean, Logan Morris turned into Joe Danaher.
Yeah.
But their strength is their midfield. If you can cut that off, I don't think the rest of the team's that great.
No.
But we went with a bloke we already had 1,000 of those sorts of players in the team. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah. Ollie Henry would have been better being in the 22 as a player, as in giving another forward, maybe another marking option with that defensive setup.
Possibly, but I don't know. Can you play all those players together? Well, in the end, they had Jack Martin playing up forward.
Yeah.
Jack Martin and Mitch Duncan.
They can't exist in the same team.
And I don't think either of them can play.
No.
Mitch Duncan's done. Yep. It's been a great career, and I'm not potting Mitch Duncan whatsoever.
Geelong aren't winning a flag with Mitch Duncan in the team.
He looked horribly out of his depth, didn't he, in that game?
He
looked slow, And not knocking him. His career's been unbelievable. He's been a great servant for Geelong. He's been a great player. He's been a good fella. He's great for the community. He hasn't put a foot wrong, but the end comes for everyone, and it's come for Mitch Duncan.
Yep.
And I'd argue that the end, why are we playing Jack Martin? He couldn't kick the ball 35 metres. Yeah. He has no explosiveness whatsoever. They're trying to play him as a defender. I'd be very nervous about him trying to defend someone one-on-one with lack of leg speed. In the end, they tried to put him up forward, and they got Ollie Henry. Ollie Henry's got to be a better option than Jack Martin.
You're making at least two changes for the Richmond game.
Well, the problem...
I think Martin might be a good sub option because he can be creative. When the heat's gone out of the game...
Possibly. It's a bow. It's a long bow. He's got no explosiveness whatsoever. He's got no power. And that was evident with his kicking.
Yeah. Bowes is coming back in, you would have thought.
Yeah. Well, I think the midfield probably needs a Bowes, and I'm not suggesting he's going to be the saviour, sort of Gary Ablett senior style, but he is another body that can go in there. If he's having a good night, he can get you 20-odd possessions. I just thought we were really exposed in terms of our depth. And it was exacerbated, Kingy. Do you like that word?
It's a big one.
What about the word?
Boom, the big, boom, boom.
Nice one, Moz. There was this guy. Our midfield was just, you know, we got torched.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that we didn't play well. So I'm not saying all this is...
A lot of stuff got exposed.
I just think you
need... won't get exposed...
Against
again.
Richmond.
No.
It won't get exposed at your home against Port Adelaide. It won't get exposed against Essendon. It won't get... But I think when you play good teams who play well is when you can actually look at the team and say, okay, what do we need to do going forward?
Yep.
If we play Brisbane again, I am playing another two midfielders.
Yep, and they're Bowes and Closey.
Yes.
Yep, and unfortunately...
And I'm leaving out Martin, and I'm leaving out Duncan.
And Henry's probably...
And Ollie Henry would be right on the borderline if there's an injury.
Is he your sub?
Possibly. Possibly you could bring him on to snare you a goal or two or play how he did against Brisbane. I don't think that's his natural game, but he gave something. That's a possibility.
The other thing that's going to happen, though, is De Koning will...
back in.
But there's going to be more... you can't... You're looking at a perfect...
Yeah.
Scenario here that Geelong doesn't get another injury and that De Koning comes back. I worry that Jake Colajasny's not getting back now. He's had minor surgery.
Yeah, when does the coach keeps bringing him up.
He does, but he would have to be back by round 21 and get a month of footy in the AFL system. He can come back and play. The problem is VFL have got a bye in there and the VFL finish a week early than the AFL. So he might find himself with no footy to play.
He's drift. If you're getting onto your local betting agency, he's drifting, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's drifting markedly.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him back, but I think you're right. I think, and you know, the irony, Kingy, well, not the irony, but one of the positives for the Cats, I thought, was the way Connor O'Sullivan played against good opposition.
Yeah.
He was one of the Cats' best players.
He was.
He's, wow, he just keeps getting better. He's quite athletic. He reads the game well. He marks it. He kicks it pretty well. He is a star in the making. And I mean, I'm not breaking any news there, but I didn't think I'd be saying that about Connor O'Sullivan midway or two thirds of the way through his second season of footy. But he along with, I thought Jack Henry and Connor O'Sullivan were probably our two best players.
Yep.
I thought Tom Atkins tried hard, but was, you know, he was overwhelmed,
yep,
swamped.
Cameron made the most of his opportunities.
And then the rest of them, you know, Myers was quiet. Ollie Dempsey was very quiet. Shannon Neal was well beaten.
Yep.
Stengel had a pretty poor night. Mm. Brad Close had a pretty poor night. All those players who you need playing well, particularly against good opposition, didn't. And that's going to happen.
Yep.
But I just hope that they use that as a reference point going forward as how the team, because this week or next week, by this week, so they win that.
You don't get anything.
They're $1.01 to win that. bet responsibly. Yeah. But Richmond, it won't matter what they do against Richmond. Can you please explain to me, Tom? I know we spoke about him last week. Can you explain to me?
What do you want me to explain?
Why the hell is Mitch Duncan and Jack Martin in the team over Jed Buse?
No, I can't work that out.
Would you think that Jed Buse, I know he's 32, but still has some power about his game,
yep,
still has some creativity about his game, which we saw when he rang the coach and said, you need to play me this week because there was no Lawson Humphries and no Tom Stewart,
yep,
and he had 20-odd possessions. He can play a shutdown role. He can go and mark it. He can be attacking. He's quick. Can you explain to me why Jack Martin is playing a standstill halfback role?
No, I can't.
Do you think, now, I know we don't like to criticise, but do you think how much of the coach was in recruiting Jack Martin?
No, that I don't know. No, I'm not exactly, no. Well, Reg Tuohy, obviously with us,
yeah,
he's a massive rap for Jack Martin.
I know he's a massive rap, but he plays for Geelong. Like, I'm not knocking Reg, but you have to back your own.
He was talking about him, Jack Martin, when Jack Martin wasn't a Geelong player.
Yeah, but we've little sample size of what we've seen is that he hasn't had any power to his game.
Was his third game back? Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you this question. If you're picking the team, okay, yep, let's say Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, Mitch is going out.
Is out, okay. Yep. Yep. Would you be playing Jed Buse over Jack Martin at halfback?
Yes. Oh, yeah, at halfback, definitely. Yep. Jack Martin made his name as a creative forward.
Yeah, we don't have room for that.
No, and you'd only play him if Stengel, so they've got him. Eyes.
This is one of the things that I think that Geelong are able to do because they've been very successful. But I think other clubs try to do and it doesn't work is you get a player who's a bit of a name player who certainly has some talent,
hmm,
who then you try and play in a position because you can't really play him in the position that suits him.
Yeah, no,
they're trying to fashion a spot for him.
Play players in the spots that they are built to play.
Well, if it's up front and let's hope he marks it, it's only 20 meters out, because if it's 30 meters out, he won't make the distance.
Struggle, yeah.
That was almost embarrassing, that kick it late in the game.
Bose,
for an AFL player.
Bose will come back, and yeah, unfortunately, Mitch Duncan, I suspect now, you might give him a farewell game at GMHBA Stadium.
We'll do it this week against the Tigers, or the last game.
Yeah,
against Wet Toast, is it?
The round 20 game here.
Round 23. 23
in Sydney.
Oh, round 22, sorry. Round 23 is in where?
Sydney, 24 is against the
24.
Tigers.
24, got a lot of rounds.
Yeah, round 22,
like Tyson
is
Tyson versus Booker.
The Friday night against Essendon here.
Right. Well, look, I do agree. I think it would be fitting to have a farewell game for Mitch, but I think the time is nigh, unfortunately, for Mitch, and we've got to really sort of hone in on a team now that for finals.
Yep.
And
yeah, he's not part of the 23 winning the flag.
No. And I don't think Jack Martin is either. And for the life of me, I can't understand why Jed Buse is on the outer.
Yep. Connor O'Sullivan, we talked at the start of the year. I said if he got 15, I reckon he'd get 15 games in.
Well, that was a good call. He'd get 6.
Yep. He's at 14. I'm actually going to be off the mark. He'll end up probably playing 22 or 23.
Well, I think if they met, well, and with no Collar Jasny, they need to actually manage him right so that he's fresh and firing in the finals, because he's suddenly a bit of a key. Well, I don't think he's the difference right now. I think he will be in time, but he's a key player.
There's a chance, I would think, that maybe we will go to De Koning coming back. Maybe when he comes back, look at the opposition and go, is this where we give Connor
rest? Yeah, they do need to rest him.
By here, let's say De Koning's back in a month. then you give him a rest, maybe the Port Adelaide game, who don't have an overly tall forward line.
Yep.
Give him a rest there. Then he plays out the year, gets the week off for the bye, pre-finals, and then he's back for a qualifying.
Yeah, they do. They've got to fashion him playing good footy like he did on Friday night, because, you know, what I love about that was that it was against it was a big game. It was a Friday night, bright lights, prime time against the reigning premier, and his team struggled.
Yep.
And he played well. That's always a really good sign for a young player, second year key position player. I couldn't have been more impressed with the way he's gone this year. And
he's averaging.
Do you think he's been better than Sam De Koning was in 2022?
No. Sam De Koning's 2022.
Yeah,
you're
probably right. Well, it's not far away.
No. Sam De Koning's 2022 was unbelievable.
I think this is probably not going to come out right. But do you think Connor O'Sullivan perhaps has a little bit more upside in the way he plays than Sam De Koning?
A bit more attacking.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Play more up the ground.
That's why O'Sullivan, I think, will eventually end up the ground.
What, as a wingman?
Potentially.
Do you reckon?
Yep. He's got the tank.
Yeah, I know he's got the tank. Jeez, we need to find another defender then.
That you would, yeah. That's the only thing. Well, for the moment, you can live with De Koning and Jack Henry.
Yeah. Jeez, Jack Henry's playing well.
He's a good footballer. Just on...
Tom Stewart looks sore again. Yeah. Copped that knock early.
Yeah, that was it. That's the only reason he looks sore. He was fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it on the other leg? I think it was on the other leg.
No, he hurt. So he the knee that he's hurt.
Got a knee to the buttock, didn't
yeah,
he?
It's not completely
which
knee.
Which buttock?
Unknee related.
Which buttock?
No, I don't know which cheek he copped it in.
Do you think that the other buttock would have been felt a little bit left out that he wasn't injured as well?
I don't know, Ben. I can't answer that. But no, I'm very glad. Like, I know I'll put my hand up and say I got Ollie Dempsey wrong last year, that I didn't think Ollie Dempsey was going to make it. But I want to. Also, we'll put quick hand up and say, I thought Connor O'Sullivan would play a lot of footy this year.
Yeah, well, I didn't, just purely on his dimensions, but he's been fantastic. So,
I come to you with good news, by the way.
What's that?
Ollie Dempsey's deal's been done.
So he's got, how many years?
Four.
4 years?
Yeah, is my understanding. We're recording this. It will be released publicly. When you hear this, it will have been released publicly. But my understanding, it's four.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Geelong are very good at re-signing players, aren't they?
Yep.
Very good.
Well, they've only got 12 out of contract. Four of those.
And who are the biggest three of those names?
The biggest three out of that dozen are probably Nevitt.
Yeah.
Mullen.
Yeah.
And that's, well, beyond that, it's rookie and Wiltshire. Other than that, it's the old boy, so it's Stanley.
Do you think they'll re-sign Nevitt?
He might look for opportunity elsewhere.
Have you heard any whispers?
No, I haven't.
What about Mullen?
As Andrew Mackie said, that was well down the path.
Yeah. What do you think?
That quote from Andrew Mackie about Oisin Mullen was actually picked up by the Irish Examiner.
Was it?
Yeah. Because they keep a close eye on the Irish
the
boys.
The old Irish Examiner.
Playing AFL. So
I used to go out with a girl.
Right. Anyway, Jed Buse, Cam Guthrie, Reece
Stanley.
She was
like the Irish Examiner.
Mitch Duncan, move on.
No, I'm telling you, we used to go to Molly Bloom's in Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
This is a very, very good establishment, Tom.
Can we move on? Yeah. I'm talking about...
I had a lot of fun there.
Okay, so out of these four, who plays on next year? So Mitch Duncan doesn't?
Well, God, no.
No. Cam Guthrie?
No, unfortunately.
Jed Buse?
Well, I think he could play on, but it perhaps won't be at the Cats, given he, for whatever reason, they're playing two slugs in front of him.
Reece Stanley?
Well, if we're playing Reece Stanley, we've probably got a lot of problems, but I wouldn't...
Would you keep him just as a backup?
Cheap backup? If you're if he's prepared to pay for absolutely under minimum chips, possibly, but... And that's providing he doesn't get injured.
Yeah.
If he gets an injury this year, that probably curtails that. But if he's fit... Possibly.
Sorry, the name I missed.
I wouldn't just be championing that as something that's going to happen now, though.
No.
Wait and see.
Oh, anything could happen.
Wait and see at the back end of the year what happens to Loch Ness. Yeah. Is Mitch Edwards, what's he doing?
Yeah, no, he's back. He played last week.
Right. So is he showing us anything?
Yeah, he'll be a good player. Yeah.
As a ruckman?
Yep.
Right. So, well, there you go. I wouldn't just be saying let's just lock Reece Stanley in, but it's something you'd probably discuss.
Yep. So then you've got your rookies, of which one is Closey. So Closey's probably in that three. Actually, probably
Ted.
One of those three.
Well, I'd be keeping him.
Yeah. So Closey, Rechko, Ivicic, and Joe Pike are the four rookies out.
Pikey.
Yep. Big Joe Pike. So he's a ruckman as well. I'd say he'll be given time to develop. And then you've got Wiltshire, Stevens, Nevitt.
What's the expression they say about those players, Kingy? If you're 6 foot, you got 5 minutes to tell me to prove to me that you're any good.
Yeah, it's a basketball line.
Is it if you're 6 foot seven?
You've got forever.
You got 5 years.
Yeah, it's a basketball line. Yeah, tall.
No one's 6 foot playing basketball, though.
No, but
short, 6 foot seven short, isn't it?
Short people have to prove they can play. Tall people have to prove they can't play. Is a line in basketball.
Yeah, well, that's very good, isn't it? And it doesn't help too. It helps too, Kingy.
KFCX, Mick Howley, what's on for the bye week, gentlemen? Do the players get a break or does training continue as per usual? Players have been on individual programs this week. They'll have Thursday to Sunday off and they'll be back on Monday to start preparing for Richmond.
Yes.
So they get a 4 day break.
Oh, well, they need a little freshen up. King, everyone needs a freshen up.
Premiers, can Danger play in a true centre-half forward position and lead into the square to give the guys coming out of defence a marking target? It would provide, that's the centre square, it would provide more room in the forward 50.
Oh, so what's this suggesting? Their play is more of a traditional
centre-half
forward,
yeah,
or
coming up the ground.
He doesn't have the tank.
Yeah.
That's probably, I mean, I heard him interviewed in the lead up to his 350th and he was talking about playing up forward and how it allows him basically some time to recover and then it gives him an opportunity to go helter-skelter at the ball. I don't think you want to be playing Patrick Dangerfield in a position now where you basically need to be an aerobic animal. That's not his go. It's never been his go.
He's no Pav or Nick
Revolt. He's a more of your traditional, you know, forward or centre forward.
Yep.
And have the ability to rest and then go bananas at the footy when it comes his way again. That's his lot now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was cognizant of the fact that he wasn't going to be touching the ball as much as he used to, but he can also impact the game as much as he did. He can just do it with half the number of possessions. But he had a bad night the other night, didn't he? He had two shots. When he missed that one in the first quarter.
That was just Geelong's night encapsulated.
Yeah. He didn't even get close.
Edmund 59, is Mitch Edwards playing later in the year in the AFL team? Unless,
I don't know enough about him.
Nah, it would only be if Reece Stanley was.
Is he physically capable?
Probably.
Like,
he's another preseason away.
But he wouldn't look completely out of place.
No. But I think another big preseason, and we'll see Mitch Edwards at some stage.
So is he? How tall is Mitch Edwards?
Mitch Edwards is 203 or 4.
Which is the same size as Shannon Neal.
Yep.
And Sam De Koning.
Yep.
So is he athletically – I really don't know anything about him. Is he athletically gifted or is he more of your sort of traditional lumbering type ruckman?
He's actually 206.
206?
Yeah.
So isn't Loch Ness 206?
So he's grown since he got to the club. He didn't come at the club as 206.
Is he – what about with the afro? Is he like Fletch? he's a pretty good dribbler.
Thank you.
Can I borrow your towel?
I don't know much about –
my car just hit a water buffalo.
I just don't know much about his – aerobic.
What about his? But the way he plays, is he an athletic?
I haven't seen
ruckman, or is he more of your lumbering type?
No, he's a bit more athletic.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't seen a huge amount of him
because I'd classify Loch Ness not in a bad way, not in a derogatory way, but he's more of your lumbering type ruckman. He's athletic for his size, but he's more of a sort of a positioning type body type ruckman. He's not your sort of flowing athletic type ruckman.
Yep.
Which, I mean, Max Gawn is like that.
Yeah.
And he's very good at it. But you've got, I'm thinking of other ruckmen who are a little bit different. I mean, Luke Jackson, for example. It's more your athletic type of ruckman. He wants to get it out in space and run.
Yeah.
Gawn wants it to be in tight where he can mark it.
McInerney.
McInerney's out. Well, he can't even get a game.
No, he's not 100%.
Right. Because he was an emergency on Friday night.
Yeah, he's not 100%. But Fraser Fort, Darcy Fort's doing a really good job at the moment. Darcy Fort was pretty good on Friday night.
He was, He was.
You almost go, gee, he'd be handy in the Geelong team.
Right? He was, he was handy.
Yeah.
Handy.
All right, off the big footy forum, the only thing worse than our goal kicking and turnovers Friday night was once again the GMHBA scoreboard operator. Every replay was about 30 seconds behind the actual play you wanted to see a replay of. As soon as they get close to showing the replay of the play you want to see, they cut back to live play. It's nothing new, but I'm hoping that whatever they're smoking when operating the scoreboard gets confiscated soon.
Do you think they're on the Californian sour seed?
I don't know.
There's a little bit of Kentucky bluegrass.
Do you know what I saw the other day that I hadn't seen before?
It was a lovely...
deleted scene from Caddyshack.
Was it?
Yeah, that involved Bill Murray's character And
Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase. Because they don't like it. They didn't like it.
No, no.
There was no scene with them.
No, one.
Until the end of the movie.
Yeah, which was the scene inside the Greenskeeper's hut.
Yeah.
Where they, yeah, but this is another deleted scene. I hadn't seen it before, which was quite interesting. And
yeah, they
Bill Murray's actually got a pretty good swing.
They didn't like each other, those
no,
two.
From Saturday Night Live.
For whatever, yeah, right.
It went back to SNL. Fox Dog 50, gents, I honestly believe we're a chance to win the flag, but my biggest concern is our depth in our midfield. Smith, Holmes and Atkins are great, but behind that we don't have many more good players. We had that discussion a bit earlier.
And I thought that, I mean, Smith and Holmes tried hard. They had probably, 47 possessions between them, 24 and 23 from memory. It was round about that. They didn't have, Brisbane were able to limit their ability to run and carry and create. So they were able to stifle. They still got a bit of the ball, but they weren't able to be that sort of damaging, creative type that we've seen against the lesser opposition. So credit to the Lions. But you're right. When they're just going's not the right phrase, but when they're not absolutely sort of starring and dominating, there's not a lot underneath, and Brisbane have a lot underneath. I mean, Levi Ashcroft, he's a first-year player. He had it 23 times on his ear on that front. He and Will Ashcroft, they're going to be frightening that midfield for a long time.
Still Fox Dog 50. Honestly, what is Jack Martin's role in our side?
Yeah,
I discussed.
Yep, I agree. I don't know. My theory, Kingy, I've got a theory. I love a theory. I don't know whether it's true or not. But I reckon that the coach might have had a bit of say in getting him.
Yep.
And you've got to justify that say by playing him.
Yep.
And then you've got to find a position for him because there isn't one where there are other players who are clearly more...
adept.
More adept and have more...
influence.
And a better.
Yep.
And younger.
Yep.
So they're playing him in a role and they'll say he played there a few times and maybe he did, but that's not his role because he's lacked. You can't be there and be a liability with a lack of speed.
So I believe in a person mentioned last week's show that George Stevens is this year's Mitch Hardy. What more can he do this year to get a game? I did ask the question of Chris Scott about George Stevens last week.
And did you get flat batted?
It was basically, well, we've got blokes in the midfield that he just hasn't but pushed out yet.
Who?
Well,
Mullen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like. Fair to say, Mullen's actually turned in.
He's going. He's going okay. What did you make of his year? What do you make of his year to date?
Oh, it's been solid. They think he can be a very, very good player. So they're just getting games into him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy to go along with that.
Yeah.
I can't see it just yet. I can't see him being what you just said there, a very good player.
Yep.
Look, I'm happy to be proven wrong and I'm not having a go at him, but I don't see enough. I don't see glimpses. I mean, you would have thought that he... Why are you laughing, Tommy?
One of the questions coming
right,
up.
So, are you seeing it? Are you seeing a player who is developing across the course of you who can be a very good player?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, well, we see things differently. And look, like I said, I'm not trying to get him out of the... I am in a way.
Okay, let me turn the clock. Let me turn the clock back. Don't turn.
You just turned. Yes,
you turned
your own clock back.
Mark O'Connor's first year was 17 or 18.
Oh, if you think I can remember that, King, you're kidding me.
But if we had this same conversation 7 or 8 years ago about Mark O'Connor, you wouldn't have seen somebody who would turn into a pretty handy player.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to look back at the tape because I don't remember how Mark O'Connor was.
Put it this way. Mullen didn't come in 2022 when he... was ready to when he'd been selected to come, and Geelong were willing to wait.
Is this his third year?
This is his third year.
Okay. All right, well, third year, okay. We'll cut him some slack. I just sort of, game to game...
Well, put it this way.
Right now,
Sheen Mullen's in his third year.
Yep.
Jai Clark's in his third year.
Yeah.
Mullen's in front of Jai Clark. And Jai Clark was pick 7.
They keep playing him, yeah. They keep playing Mullen. What? How many... I had a question there, but I can't think of it. What... If he's 30, how many games has he played?
Mullen has played...
My point, how old is Mullen? He's not 21.
No, no.
He's 26 or something, isn't he?
Mullen is 25. He's played 32 games.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, so we're seeing some improvement. It's not completely obvious to me, but I'm not poo-hooing him. Good on him. They're playing him. Let's hope he does continue to improve. I just don't see week to week, you don't see glimpse of, that's it. I don't see a glimpse where would he play, do you reckon?
Halfback.
You think that's his role?
Yep.
Okay.
That's where he made his name in Gaelic footy, as a defender.
Yep. He did a really good spoil on Friday night.
Well, there's the thing you saw.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, one spoil ain't gonna make
it
summer.
See, but you said you didn't
no,
see
No, it was just one spoil. He has got good closing speed. He just needs to get more of the ball.
Yeah.
If you've got speed and you
but
don't
will,
use it
but
offensively.
That will come, 32.
Well, I hope so. I just don't see it. I would have thought it would have you'd see some really good improvement across the course of this year. I haven't seen it.
Mark O'Connor's taken a long time to find the footy. How often did you see Mark O'Connor get 20
disposals? Well, he doesn't have that time at 25, though. He'd be 30 before when we're still.
Yeah, but I think he'll be quicker than Mark O'Connor.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Good discussion, King. Let's hope he continues to improve. I've got a little question mark, which is fine.
Which you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Howler 41, putting the wideout loss down to poor goal kicking, several players being down a touch and playing against a team with the midfield deeper than Benny's pockets. We were due for a loss and that was a stinker. Like the British when they cracked the Enigma code, Brisbane seemed to know every move before he did it. That's a very good point. Chris Fagan covered everything off.
He was very good. They played well. They had a good system defensively and they were able to really work the Cats over at times. Offensively, when they moved the ball, they moved the ball. Logan Morris, what did he kick, six? Five?
Five, for the second week in a row.
He's only a second-year player.
He is, but he's a bit older.
Yeah, well, not how, he's only early 20s, isn't he?
Yeah, but he comes into the system not
he's not a bad player.
No, he's a very good player.
Holy crap, he torched us.
Yeah, Logan Morris is...
22?
No, 20, actually.
20, there you go, so he's young.
Yeah, I thought he's a bit older than that.
That's a good effort. Second year key position plays, bag five prime time on the road.
So he kicked 20.
But if that was happening to a Geelong player, we'd be naked.
24-15 he kicked last year from 19 games. He's kicked 30-11 from 14 games.
Yeah, he's
this year.
A good kick for goal anyway. He's a lot to like about him. He's come in and filled the void nicely for Joe Danaher.
Yeah, well, that was probably an area they thought they were going to struggle to actually to fill.
Correct.
Found one there. Howler 41, midfield depth and kicking inside 50 seem to be an issue. The inside 50 kicking will improve, but still think we need more options on ball. We've discussed that. Hopefully everyone over refreshes this week and back into it. Hey, what are you doing, Benny, with your weekend off? You going to the races? Or?
Yeah, I got to work Saturday at Caulfield. And then, don't know, Kenny. I don't think much. I think I'm going to have it really quiet. I've had a bit of allergy and a sort of... I ended up refreshing on Saturday night.
Was that at somebody's engagement party?
No. No, that's not for a couple of weeks. Oh, that's not till the 19th of next month.
Oh, right. I thought that was this week.
No, I wasn't refreshing. I did hit a few Pivot City Lagers, Kingy.
They're good.
They're good.
I've got some more in the... would you like to take some?
Yeah, I might take a couple.
Yep. Daz Broncos, that was yucky, like Judge Smale's nephew Spalding in Caddyshack picking and eating it. Yucky. Club looked tired and ready for the bye as both AFL and VFL teams looked lethargic in our team. The refresh will help that. Seemed like we had trouble with dewy conditions. Not the first time and we missed targets, missed kicks and slipped over. Bad kicking for goal two. 10-5 going into the bye. We'll have all have taken it off it at the season start.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Absolutely. Written and authorised that, Daz. Look, he's right there. I think Chris Scott referenced that after the game, didn't he? Talking about it looked like one team was playing with a very slippery ball and the other team wasn't.
Yes. Was the Lions game a hiccup on the road to September or is it an underlining issue defensively that we can't defend the faster ball movement style games and can't stop top scoring after turnovers? I would say that's an outlier, but we're not going to get a real indication because the eight games they're playing between now and September.
Well, you get an indication against GWS.
That's about it.
I think you get an indication against Sydney potentially with some players back.
Yeah, they might actually
big game this week. Sydney and the Bulldogs.
Sydney might still be playing for something.
Well, hopefully they're not.
Yeah,
and GWS got out of jail after conceding the four goals in about 10 seconds to the Suns.
Jake Stringer.
Yeah.
Super sub. And Mr. Cat Tenner, who I think is a newbie. Ben and Tom, my question for you was the Bronx cheers of Sir Grine when he hit a couple of targets, clearly audible
poor.
At the ground as it was on TV. Yes, we picked it up.
Was poor. That's poor.
Yeah.
I reckon that's crap.
Bloke's had
a great year and he's played one bad game and then you're giving him Bronx cheers, please.
I just about fell off my rocking chair at home and nearly needed to pull a Nadia Comaneci 10 out of 10 to land safely as I couldn't believe it. Shame we have some peanuts like this amongst our supporter base. The thing is, you've got people who have paid money to go to the footy. They can react how they want.
They can.
Whether we can agree with it or not doesn't really matter.
We can call it out, though.
But we can call. Kane Corns called it out.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
On his volcano.
That was absolute rubbish. I agree. Who was that, King?
That was Mr. Cat 10.
Yes, well, I agree with Mr. Cat 10. And he, Nadia Comaneci too, she could land she after could a few tumbles, landing. Couldn't she? She could really stick her landing.
Are we doing Hydro's Heroes?
I don't think we are, Kingy, because Hydro has failed to send me through anything. So I don't think we are doing Hydro's Heroes. We can leave them till next week.
Bring it back next week. Can you maybe update the teams, if you could, please, Benny? Have you got the numbers that we've done? Have you got those
handy? Well, I have, Kingy.
Handy? So what have numbers we've done and who are in those numbers?
We did 19 and 32, didn't we?
We did that last week.
Okay, so we're going through here. So I've got the odds and you've got the evens at the team at the end of the year.
Which makes a lot of sense.
So you've got I've got Wayne Closter.
Yep.
So one Wayne Closter. So this is, if you're just joining us for the first time, we're doing Hydro's Heroes throughout this season on the Kerr's High Cat Attack Podcast.
So we get to 46 players.
So we're getting to 46 players, and we just had the best player to wear that number effectively since 1975 across the last 50 years, and you've played more than 50-odd games. Yep. So
your career can have started before 1975, i.e. Wayne Closter, because he actually finished in about 75 or 76, but he makes the cutoff.
Yep, so this is the team so far. There's still some numbers to come, but we've got Wayne Closter at one, Tom Harley, former Cats captain, at two.
I got him.
Jimmy Bartel, former Brownlow medalist, at three. Andrew Mackey, executive general manager of the footy club.
Never went into a weights room.
Number four. Five is the great man. We don't even need to say his name. You all know who he is. The great, the entertainment package.
The Gazooki.
Yeah, the great Gazooki. I watched the little highlights pack. If I get depressed, King, I just put on a little couple of snippets of the Gazooki.
Oh, the 89 final series.
Oh, he was outrageous. He just used to, he did crap that would like.
Do you know how the AFL have sold or bought back Waverley off Hawthorn? Apparently the AFL went down there, and guess what? They found Paul Hamilton still stuck to the spot on that half-forward flank.
Oh, I remember that. The Gazook just went right round him, and he was unbelievable.
Did you ever catch the train? Actually, talk about this. I brought this up on the KFCX. Did you ever catch the train out to Waverley? Or catch the train to Clayton and then get the bus?
No.
Oh, they were some big trips.
We took a purple combi out there once.
Right.
And
sort of Fast Times at Ridgemont High
style. It was a big purple combi. And
when the doors open?
It's the colour of sexual frustration, purple.
Apparently.
So anyway, I made the fatal mistake, Kingy. I got pushed out of the van at the local establishment to buy some refreshments.
Yeah.
And out of the corner of my eye, I saw it was the first days of blocks.
Yeah.
And So I got the block, and I thought, I've got one of the greatest deals of all
30
time.
30 cans?
30 tins. 30 tins between the three of us. Thought, this is going to be fantastic. So what happened, what I failed to realise, King, is I got myself some mid-strength. When mid-strength wasn't cool. So anyway, we went there and we had a barbecue and we drank every can.
And then went into the game.
And then we got absolutely fizzed. And then I went onto the field after the game where I kicked a kick.
Yeah.
And I went back with the flight of the ball and got absolutely cleaned up while refreshed. I didn't feel a thing. I knew how John Daly felt when he won the British Open, when he was absolutely absolutely gassed to the eyeballs. But I went out there. So number six is Brad Ottens. What a great recruit he was. Number seven, rest in peace, Paul Couch. He was a superstar, Paul Couch. His left foot and his ability to find space, and he was slower than treacle, was absolutely unbelievable.
Right foot was only for balance.
But he was the Gary Goggles too. He had the whole package, did Paul Couch. Number eight is Ronnie Longschlong. Longburns. He was number eight, Kingy. Nine is Mick Turner. What a star he was. He would have thrived in today's footy, Mick Turner.
As well.
Number 10, Johnny Mossop, was an underrated ruckman. Very, very
kicked
good player.
Seven in a qualifying final.
Could go forward and kick goals, and he was a good player. Number 11 was, I think, two-time best and fairest Joel Corey. Number 12 was a man who did a cartwheel at half forward at the Cats when they were described as a boring team, Brad Scholl. He was a very good player, Brad Scholl. Very, very good player.
We did that little last week of, you know, top three to being recruited from other clubs. Now, Brad Scholl's not in the three, but he's one that you could...
He got nominated a couple of times.
Yeah. A couple of names that didn't get a lot of love. Bluey McGrath.
Yeah.
Liam Pickering.
Yes, he was a good player.
He won a BNF. Yeah, and I actually think Pickers might have pipped Bluey for a BNF at Geelong.
He was a good player. He's very skillful, Liam Pickering. Yep. 13 is Domsey, the son of Stumpy.
Yep.
Tom Lonigan.
Nephew of Les.
And nephew of Les.
Les Donegan.
14, well, that goes without saying, Joel Selwood. 15, Peter Riccardi. 200.
I still can't believe Huck didn't get a mention there.
Oh, really?
Huck Toohey.
Yeah, Peter Riccardi was
288 games.
Yeah, gun wingman.
And got North Geelong on top of the ladder at the moment.
Kent Kingsley, number 18.
Yep, four-time.
Four-time best and fairest.
No, leading goal kicker, Benny. Settle down.
Oh, sorry, sorry, you're right there. I've over-raced there. I have to get the horse back under me. 19, did we go with Neville Bruns?
We did.
Number 20, Stevie J.
Yep.
21, we're yet to do. 22, Mitch Duncan.
Yep.
23, Larry Donoghue. Yep. 24 is Mark Boss. I love Mark Boss. 25, Lockie Henderson. He didn't get any love in our players that had come. 26, well, that goes without saying, Big Tomahawk. 27, former Cat skipper Andrew Buse. 28, Tim Darcy. 29, the son of the Gazookie.
Yep.
30, Matthew Scarlett Star. 31, David Mensch. Didn't have too many 31s. 32 was Gary Hocking. 33 was Bruce Nankervis. 34 we're yet to do. 35, Patrick Dangerfield. I was disappointed it wasn't Paul Chapman. And 26 was Ben Graham. We still have to do...
36 was Ben Graham.
Yes, 36.
You said 26.
Oh, sorry, 36 Ben Graham. We're still yet to do 37 through to 45. And number 46 is obviously the steeplechaser. And 47's got a question mark.
Did he used to go over the... We're not doing 47.
What?
We're not doing 47. We're not doing 46.
Right, up to 46.
Yeah, because it's 23 v 23.
So there, that's who we've got in our team.
So you've got the odds, I've got the evens. And from that, we've got to pick a team.
I've got the Gazookie, both Gazookies.
You do.
And I've also got Larry Donoghue.
You got Couchy.
I've got Couchy.
So you have the luxury of playing the Gazookie on a half-forward flank.
Yes, and I've got Joel Corey too, which is always nice. And I've got Mickey Turner on a wing.
Yeah.
And I've got, I only need the Gazookie. Yeah. He's the only player I need.
Yeah.
He's like my Swiss Army knife.
I've got Hawkins and Selwood.
Yeah, you've got some handy players there too. So anyway, Cats need to get you.
Hey, hang on. I got Scarlett.
Yeah, well, he could play in the Gazookie. I'd still be back in the Gazookie <Okay. laughs> to kick about seven by half time.
Are we done?
I think we're done, Kingy. Next week, Cat Attack podcast in the lead up to Richmond game. Are we doing that?
Yeah.
So it's a twilight game, GMHBA.
Yes.
Our Cats will win, but just how they go about it and how the team will be interesting to see what the selection is in terms of Duncan, players we've spoken about, Martin. Do they bring in some midfielders? Does Bowes come back? Does Closey come back? Does Nevitt get a look in? Does Stevens get a look in against a lesser opposition to see how he goes? That'll probably be the interesting sidelight of that game, Kingy. The Cats will get the 4 points in that game. It's just a matter of how they go about it and how they fashion the team.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.